Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue Athletics. Here's your host, Kyle Charter.
The Boilermakers look more poised and confident than at any point previously this season at Indiana on Saturday, dominating in a 74-62 win over the Hoosiers. A breakdown of the game on Golden Black Radio. I'm Kyle Charters, Brian Neuber here as well. All right, Brian, it was a pretty good game by Purdue. Not a lot to complain about in that contest. The Boilermakers got contributions from everyone who was out on the court. And I really think the most impressive thing is that when everything seemed to be pointed toward reasons why IU should win the game, such as Bob Knight's return, such as Assembly Hall, such as getting, you know, Purdue in a little bit of foul trouble in the first half, all of those things, you know, point toward Indiana, yet Purdue was able to fight all of that off and really was pretty dominant in the game in the second half and got a victory.
Yeah, you know, it was Purdue handling moments. And that's kind of something Purdue's not been able to do on the road very well. It felt like every time Indiana, you know, kind of got its head up, then Purdue made a shot. And that's like the exact opposite of what Purdue's been this season on the road. Yeah. But when you look at Eric Hunter making two threes early, when had he not, Indiana might have gotten up, you know, 9-10 points early on, and then Purdue's in that same position. It's always on the road. You look at, they go up three late in the first half. Aaron Wheeler makes back-to-back threes. They do a couple of positive things to start the second half when they're riding that wave of energy in that building. Whether it was related or not, I don't know. But regardless, Sasha Stefanovic makes two jumpers. Later, you know, when Indiana seems to maybe be mounting a run, Isaiah Thompson makes two threes. Mm-hmm. And it's just Purdue just made every shot it needed to make, but then did everything else around it right. And it was just the most complete, best top-to-bottom performance Purdue has played on the road in the Big Ten this season by a mile.
Yeah. And Evan Boudreau, too, whose numbers look maybe the least impactful of all those guys who contributed, ices the puck a couple of times there late in the game with less than 4 minutes to go with the two offensive rebounds that, you know, were maybe two of the bigger plays of the game.
I wish I'd thought of that. That was great. A great way to put it, ices the puck. Yeah. You can't say enough about what Evan Boudreau has provided this team the last half dozen plus games. I mean, what he did in the last 7 minutes of that game was just unbelievable. He basically single-handedly closed that game out without scoring. I mean, he did score like 3 points there at the end, but that's kind of beside the point. Him taking those two charges, I think he took both charges. I'm not sure if one was Harms or one was him, but he definitely took one of them. But then the offensive rebounds were just, you know, simply a situation where, you know, to use a bit of a cliche here, he just wanted the ball more than Indiana did. And, you know, when the guy who's up 10 wants the ball more than the team that's down 10, you know, that tells you exactly what you're dealing with here. Evan Boudreau is basically like everything Purdue, you know, historically in basketball claims itself to be, has always wanted to be, you know, that effort sort of guy, that guy who kind of rises to occasions. Mm-hmm. He has been, you can't really say enough about what he's provided this team. He and Jahad Proctor both in different ways here this last stretch of season. Those two seniors are a huge part of the reason why Purdue is really kind of reversed its fortunes here the last two plus games.
Yeah, and Boudreau and that four spot in particular, we didn't think it was going to come with Boudreau, right? I mean, he was running out of time here. And, you know, if you look back to a year and a half ago, maybe this is what you projected that he could be. It just seemed like it was never going to happen. But for him to be contributing at that four spot and then, you know, combine that with Aaron Wheeler having a positive game and his best scoring game in a long time, certainly his best shooting game. But also he's put together some good minutes here recently. But you combine those two guys' stats at the four spot, I don't know what they're averaging over the last three or four games, but it seems, you know, much more significant and positive than what it was before that, it's really changed who Purdue is again.
Yeah. They did get outscored at the four in that game because Justin Smith had 11, Jerome Hunter made some shots, but that's beside the point. What Purdue was able to do at that position was, it changed the game. I mean, when you give up three threes to Aaron Wheeler and he comes in shooting 11% in Big Ten play from 3-point range, that's a killer. I mean, obviously that's a killer. And, to Purdue's credit, they did a great job finding him for those open shots in the first half. Travion Williams made an unbelievable pass to get him that first three. Jahad Proctor made a really good play off a ball screen to get him the second one. Those are the shots he's been missing all season long. I'm guessing that, I don't know if Indiana necessarily gave him that shot, but, when you build your game plan from a defensive perspective, there are certain shots you're willing to allow. You're willing to live with if a guy makes the shot. And Purdue was giving Justin Smith jump shots all day long. He didn't really take them. Indiana might have been giving Aaron Wheeler some jump shots. He did make them. That's a killer. When the stuff you're willing to live with kills you, that's an absolute killer. But for Aaron Wheeler, this all started with doing some positive things against Iowa. It started with him getting on the offensive glass, running the floor. That's the sort of thing that I think kind of remains his path out of this kind of season-long slump he's been in. But when he makes shots, obviously that is huge. And from Evan Boudreau's perspective, again, we talked about him earlier, what he's provided this team, from a substance perspective, from an effort perspective, from a catalyst perspective. You just can't say enough about it. That position has been kind of a hit and miss deal for Purdue this season. The productivity hasn't necessarily been there all season long. I think it's a really important position from an offensive perspective in college basketball nowadays. And, obviously things were very different on Saturday and very different against Iowa than they've been most of the season. If that's kind of an enduring reality for Purdue here the rest of the season, they're going to be much better off because of it.
Let's go back 83 minutes of basketball ago, Brian. Purdue trails a week ago Saturday by 8 with a few minutes to go against Northwestern. I feel like, one of the most impressive things about this team right now is that it was pushed up against the wall. Purdue loses that game at Northwestern, and this thing's over, right? I mean, it's a difficult path back.
Screwed.
Then to the NCAA tournament. So, it was up against it, not playing very well against a bad team on the road, and it found something there in the last 3 minutes. And since that point, Purdue's been really good. I mean, you look at the last 83 minutes of basketball, they're plus 59. That's pretty solid. And now Purdue's won 3 in a row, and, seemingly, to use a really bad sports cliche, in control of its own destiny here in terms of the NCAA tournament. I don't know what it was, but there was a moment in that Northwestern game where Purdue decided that it wasn't going to allow that to be its outcome, to lose the game and lose the tournament. And it's been playing really good basketball since then.
Yeah. With 3 minutes to go at Northwestern, you're screwed. I mean, you're absolutely screwed because you lose that game. You're out of the, it's an elimination game, for the NCAA tournament basically. And whether it's simply the fact that, you just started making the shots you've been missing on the road all season long, whether it's the fact Northwestern is Northwestern for a reason and they can't hold the ball. They can't take a good shot in the final 3 minutes of a game that they should win. They kind of let the door open for Purdue. Purdue took it. And ever since then, they've been shooting the hell out of the basketball. They were already a good defensive team, but they're playing offensively unlike anything they've played like this season. I think the guard play is the biggest difference here the last 2.5 games. When you look at the end of the Northwestern game, that was directly attributable to guard play. I thought Purdue's guard play at the end of that game was exceptional and has been exceptional ever since. And that was a big part of what was holding Purdue back offensively. And the reason Purdue has been in the positions it's been in has not been because – it struggles defensively or can't rebound, whatever it may be. It's just, it struggles to score. And I think what you've seen, if anything came out of the end of that Northwestern game, it might have been it kind of galvanized Purdue's guards, gave them confidence to play really well from there on out. I mean, they were dominant. Purdue was dominant in every phase of offensive basketball against Iowa, obviously. And then the guard play was just really good against Indiana. The overall offense was just really good against Indiana. Again, it was just the opposite of what Purdue has been all season long from an offensive perspective. And, you know, last season turned when you won at Wisconsin. That was the game that just took Purdue from one direction to another. And you do kind of wonder now, maybe the end of that Northwestern game was that moment for this team. Maybe that's where, you know, the water started flowing a different direction, so to speak, you know, from an offensive perspective especially. And, you know, if it was, it happened a month later than it did the year before, but you take it whenever you can get it. And, you know, if Purdue plays offense and defense the way it has the last three games from here on out, it's going to win some of these road games. It's going to win its home games, and it's going to play in the NCAA tournament.
Speaking of guard play, I thought that Eric Hunter Jr. had a subtly really good game on Saturday, and maybe it wasn't so subtle at times. But I was a little bit frustrated with him. I think it was particularly against Maryland. I thought he was over-dribbling a little bit, missed some guys toward the end of that game that, you know, might have had some shooting opportunities. But really since then, I think he's played more complete basketball and sort of taking control, taking some ownership of Purdue's offense a little bit. And you saw that again come to the forefront on Saturday.
Yeah, ever since Purdue took him out of the starting lineup for that one game, you know,
He's
been aggressive. He's made great decisions. That 1-3 early in the Indiana game, that was a shot where if you split screen that with that play at Rutgers where he catches the ball wide open in the corner from Trayvon Williams with the shot clock running down and he's not even looking at the basket. It's like two different players, two entirely different players. And, you know, he has kind of given, with the ball in his hands, he's made great decisions. He's made great plays. He's given the offense kind of that steady hand, kind of that leadership, kind of that guidance, for lack of a better term, that it sort of lacked. They didn't really have – they were kind of a bunch of ships passing in the night offensively, it felt like, for much of the season.
All right.
Now it feels like they have a presence. They have a steady hand. They have a cool head kind of directing things offensively. And I think that's directly attributable to him. I think it's also in part attributable to Jahad Proctor playing his best basketball of the season right now. But just guys seemingly finally settling in to the roles they've been cast into this season. That was obviously a long, arduous process for Purdue, but it seems, and obviously things can change very quickly in college basketball, but it seems right now like Purdue's in the best place it's been from a personnel standpoint offensively, and I think Eric Hunter is the one guy who reflects it the most.
The challenge comes on Tuesday. Quick turnaround here with Penn State coming into Mackey Arena. And, you know, Penn State's won six games in a row. It's playing really good basketball, heading itself toward the NCAA tournament. I think provides Purdue with some matchup challenges as well. This should be a good one in Mackey Arena. And Purdue's going to have to, you know, not have a hangover from what was a pretty emotional game too long after that victory against Indiana.
No question. Yeah, this is a really good Penn State team. I mean, I think them winning at Michigan State, you know, probably stands as the new most impressive road win of the Big Ten season. That and Maryland winning at Illinois probably are the two that come to mind most right now. But they are good. They are legitimately good. You know, Lamar Stevens is a first-team All-Big Ten player, clearly. And Purdue's got a lot to worry about with these guys. The thing is, you know, Purdue's been so good in Mackey Arena this season, but you can't take that for granted. You know, you still have to, you still have to do everything that made those games possible. But Purdue obviously have, you know, first and foremost has to worry about stopping Lamar Stevens. He's going to be a very difficult matchup. This will be the second game, you know, in a row where you probably have to double team the four, and that's not necessarily something they do on an every game basis. So Purdue, is going to have its work cut out for Tuesday night. But you always like Purdue's chances in Mackey Arena.
Thanks, Brian.
No problem.
And check out more of Brian's work at goldenblack.com. Purdue coming off the victory against Indiana as it gets set for that game against Penn State. Let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll bring in Tom Dienhardt. We'll get his impressions of the basketball team. Also talk a little bit of football as we start to gear up toward spring practices. We'll do that all coming up next on Golden Black Radio. Golden Black Radio is brought to you by Home Field Apparel. Home Field makes premium collegiate apparel with vintage Purdue designs with incredibly soft and comfortable clothing printed and owned in Indianapolis. That's homefieldapparel.com for your premium Purdue apparel with vintage designs. Check it out today.
Life doesn't come with a financial roadmap. It does come with a lot of bumps and red lights. Steering clear of those doesn't have to be difficult. With First Source Bank's online money management tools, you can see all your financial accounts, balances, and transactions in one place. So you can easily set monthly budgets to help manage expenses and debt. Get the green light to a successful financial future with First Source's money management tools. First Source Bank, where better is better. Member FDIC.
Your neighborhood bar, 6th Street Dive Bar and Grill, is a perfect must-stop location on your way to and from the game at the corner of 6th and Salem in Lafayette. Whether it be great food, authentic Tex-Mex, along with many Indiana favorites, served from 11 a.m. to 3 a.m. every day, sports, games, live music, trivia, or just fellow Boilermaker camaraderie, the Dive is the place to go. Don't miss Geeks Who Drink Trivia at 7:30 Tuesday nights, and live local music without a cover charge at 10 o'clock Fridays and Saturdays. If it's college sports you crave, the 6th Street Dive has you covered there, too, with its multiple big screens. So dive on in to the 6th Street Dive at the corner of 6th and Salem in Lafayette.
If you're looking to list or buy a home in Greater Lafayette, Tippecanoe County, the surrounding counties, give me a call at 765-412-5217 or email at kyle@chartersteam.com. Part of the Charters team at RE/MAX Ability Plus, we can offer a specialized marketing plan with photos, video tours, and more to help you sell your house while getting you in your next dream home. Contact me at kyle@chartersteam.com.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue Athletics.
Kyle here with Tom Dienhardt. Tom, let's talk a little bit of hoops here before we get into some football analysis ahead of spring practice. That was a pretty good game by the Boilermakers down in Assembly Hall. It had to be difficult, I think, for Purdue at halftime. It was a little bit of an extended halftime. Bob Knight was back in Assembly Hall, but Purdue didn't let the moment sort of overcome it there. And I thought Nojel Eastern's basket coming out of halftime, even though, just a layup, a pretty ordinary basket, was pretty key just to sort of make sure everything was calmed down a little bit. And, based on what Matt Harms had to say after the game about Gene Katie, and he's the guy that we care about, Purdue didn't seem very intimidated by the moment down there in Assembly Hall, and certainly that made a big difference to the victory.
Yeah, you're right. What a big moment. A lot of emotion. It was packed in that place, Kyle. Bob Knight's return, 20 years in the making. We got to hear about it time and again from Dick Vitale, didn't we? That was quite a serenade. But nonetheless, Purdue responded time and again. Like you said, coming out after the break, that was key. Because like you said, that was a supercharged place. And IU would have loved to have delivered a win for Knight, and a win against Purdue would have been especially sweet. So kudos to Purdue. On a little bit of a roll here, Kyle. It's taken them a while to sort of find their road mojo, but they found it at the right time. And here we are, buddy, 7 Big Ten games left, 4 at home, 3 on the road. Purdue's got 7 Big Ten wins. Don't you think 10 or 11 probably gets you in the big dance?
Well, I would think so. And 4 of those, as you mentioned, being at home, it just seems like now if you win the home games, Purdue is most likely in. But the way the Boilermakers are playing with a couple of road wins and its last 2 opportunities, it feels like, maybe there's an opportunity again to win another one.
Yeah, Penn State on Tuesday, then the road games at Ohio State this weekend, at Wisconsin, and they go to Iowa. Again, all three of those teams are solid, but certainly beatable on their home court. I think Ohio State's really struggled. Wisconsin's been a sort of bizarre team. But you know what, Kyle? That's been one place the Kohl Center where Purdue's had probably more success than any Big Ten team. Not intimidated when they go to that environment. Had the big win there last year, of course, and then at Iowa. Iowa, of course, is allergic to defense. So who knows if Purdue can match them for bucket for bucket. They like did against the Hawkeyes one recently. Maybe they can get a win. But you're right. A cherry on top of any road win at this point, like you said, Kyle, if they can win out at home, it's not going to be easy. But, again, that would make them an 11-win Big Ten team.
That's going to be a really interesting game to end the regular season at Iowa, considering what Purdue did to Iowa and Mac Iorina. You have to imagine that the Hawkeyes will play a little bit better there at Carver Hawkeye. All right, let's talk a little bit of football, Tom, because believe it or not, spring practice is probably, well, maybe as soon as 2 weeks from today. I know they haven't yet released the exact schedule, but it seems like it'll be sometime during that week, a couple of weeks from now. On the site, you're breaking down, you know, some positional things, just sort of starting to preview the spring. As you do so, what are you remembering or pointing out about this Boilermaker squad?
Well, I think offensively, you got to focus on the line at this point, right? You know, skill position players are great, and Purdue's got some very talented ones, especially a wide receiver. But as you know, Kyle, longtime football scribe and fan, you're only as good as your line. And we all know Purdue's line needs to improve. So that's going to be an area that's scrutinized by a lot of people this spring. A lot of moving parts, just one sure thing, at least in my mind, that being the left tackle, fifth-year senior Grant Hermans. Other than that, Kyle, there's some potential, but the staff has to fit these parts together. And I think there's going to be a lot of moving parts all the way up through training camp. And who knows, an X factor could always be the addition of a grad transfer offensive lineman. And then defensively, buddy, I think you got to think about the staff shakeup, right? You have a new coordinator, Bob Diaco. How is he interacting? Yeah. How is he working his personnel and scheme together? And, of course, a new defensive line coach and Terrence Jamison as well. So some changes there. And, of course, a special teams coordinator, too, Marty Biagi. But, again, the arrival of Diaco, the defense, and then, of course, offensively, like I said, the line be two areas I think a lot of people are going to have an interest in.
Purdue's got some injuries, too, to keep an eye on here over the next couple of weeks before they get started in the spring.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how much action guys like Rondale Moore get coming off that hamstring injury that limited him to four games last year. Jack Plummer with the foot issue. How much are we going to see him in the spring? Lorenzo Neal didn't play at all last year, getting over a knee surgery following 2018. How much will we see him out there? So, yeah, of course, injuries were such a huge part of the storyline last year for Purdue. Some key players suffered them, and some of those guys are back, like I mentioned. So it's going to be interesting to see how those guys are deployed this spring.
Sounds good, Tom. We'll look for your previews at goldenblack.com.
Take care, Kyle.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back, put a wrap on this podcast. We'll do that here in just a moment on Golden Black Radio.
Often, things are worth more than they seem. For Purdue grad and NASA astronaut Jerry Ross, incredible value was found in the Purdue Alumni Visa. Not just because of the exclusive Purdue card designs, but for the unlimited cash back and out-of-this-world Visa benefits. Discover the official Purdue Alumni Visa credit card. Apply today at PurdueFed.com. Purdue Federal Credit Union. Belong where you have worth. Federally insured by NCUA.
It's time to boiler up and join the Bronze Squad by gearing up with the best selection of Purdue apparel in stock only at Follett's. Visit the Black and Gold Mine store across from Mackey or Follett's Purdue West on State Street for the best game day apparel from Nike, Columbia, Champion, Cutter and Buck, and more. Shop Follett's late on game day weekends. Follett's has been your Purdue game day stop since 1945. If you can't make it to the game, shop online at FollettsPurdue.com.
On the far end of Main Street in downtown Lafayette, you'll find East End Grill, Industrial and Classic. The restaurant is built like a steakhouse, but handles like a bistro. East End Grill's menu includes creative starters, simple chopped salads, burgers, fresh fish and steaks, and the signature shrimp and grits. The staff prepares every item from scratch and emphasizes simple meals that incorporate fresh, local, and seasonal ingredients. A warm and inviting dining room features a cozy bar that includes a great selection of craft beer-inspired cocktails and a robust and expanding wine list. Whatever your entertainment needs are, a cocktail at the bar, dinner with family, or special event in the private dining room, the energized and attentive staff is here for you. East End Grill in downtown Lafayette, welcome to our table.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue Athletics.
And a big week with Penn State coming in on Tuesday. Also, those previews of spring football. Be sure to check those out at goldandblack.com. All right, that'll do it for our podcast for this week. As always, thanks to our sponsors, including Home Field Apparel, East End Grill, First Source Bank, Charter's Team at Remax Ability Plus, Follett's, the 6th Street Dive, and Purdue Federal Credit Union. We'll be back again at 10 o'clock as we'll drop our next podcast on Monday. We'll do that then. Also, be sure to look for Gold and Black Radio Express. For Brian Ubert and Tom Deanhart, I'm Kyle Charters. Thanks for listening. This is Gold and Black Radio.